have secured the existence of our people in a future for white children. Because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the earth.
The silicon chip inside her head gets switched to nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good.
Who rubs their hands and resembles rats? Who owns the banks and wears little hats?
What reason do you need to be shown?
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like shoot.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Why do you still hold these Nazi ideas?
You got any better ones?
Welcome to the Based Monday Sane Asylum.
$6 million Jews. Wickedly killed in gas chambers.
I see a clinic full of cynics who want to twist the people's wrist. They're watching every move we make. We're all included on their list.
Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump!
We love you, Japan!
We're caught in a trap. Oil can yell. Because our red is drone striking ships bad. Oh boy, have you seen?
Oh boy, have you seen?
The gas pass lately. So if the air it is, could take a chill pill in, stop bombing ships and dropping all those mines. Yeah, that would be nice. Might drop the oil price. Cause right now my tears are all that flowing.
We're gonna make a lot of money off this kid, Joe.
Good.
We're caught in a trap.
We're caught in a trap.
The oil can't get out.
The oil can't get out.
Because I read his drone strike, his ship's bad. Oh boy, have you seen?
Oh boy, have you seen?
The gas price lately.
The gas price lately.
Performance is taking my breath away.
Well, don't you know I'm caught? Caught in a trap.
Can't get out.
Gotta cancel the cruise. Do our moves now, baby. Well, don't you know I'm caught in a trap?
have it, folks. What a charming young man. With a performance like that, you'd never have guessed that he's attracted to children.
It's the Jew.
So, I hear you're a politician looking to fund your campaign.
That's right. It's running for Congress.
It's nice to meet you. I'm with AIPAC. What do you believe in?
Well, I'm America First.
Are you?
Yeah.
I use that term loosely.
Oh, let me ask you this.
How do you think you can best serve your constituents here in Texas?
Well, I think by listening to their voices, their concerns, and then taking action by visiting Israel.
How often?
I mean, once seems like enough.
And by once is enough, I mean multiple times, like once a year,
and once a month would be better,
but actually every 2 weeks seems like a good balance to go talk to high-level officials in Israel to better learn how I can represent my constituents here in Texas, to hear it directly from them.
Fascinating idea.
It seems like you care. So what are your feelings on this war with Iran?
I mean, gosh, it's like a no-win situation. Just being in there is
more?
I mean, more war with Iran is...
That's how I feel about the war with Iran, wouldn't it be?
As a potential member of Congress, why would you say it's necessary to stay in the war with Iran?
Well, gosh, yeah, I mean, you got the WMDs, or nukes, as we're calling it on this one, and you've got the, you know, the yada, 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 America's best interest,
is it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are your feelings on this Epstein files nonsense?
I mean, these disgusting predators. We need full investigations and then prosecutions. Shouldn't we just move on from them, really? I mean, these files just seem like a big distraction to me,
don't they?
Because I don't think anybody did anything wrong.
Uh-huh. What's your stance on hate speech?
Well, it's ugly, but you can't have free speech without hate speech.
Is that right?
No, because free speech doesn't include hate speech.
Hate speech about whom?
Well, everybody?
Israel. Israel, of course.
The answer is Israel.
And what, in your opinion, and the opinion of the voters that you'd represent, constitutes hate speech against Israel?
Well, I think if you're not saying anything great, then it's hate.
If it's not great, it's hate. Sounds like a good campaign slogan.
If it's not great, it's hate. If it's not great, it's hate. Huh?
It's catchy.
Yeah, I think people in Texas will love it.
Netanyahu is a son of a bitch. Yeah, yeah. And that's why I fucked his wife and got filthy rich.
Yeah. As you can see, he is totally alive.
Away from you, around the world, back to you. It's going round and round.
all white U.S. military personnel, as well as to all white veterans who still feel bound by the oath we took upon entering the military service. We walked into the recruiter's office with a noble mission in our hearts and minds, to protect those we love and to defend the American way of life. But that way of life has become something much darker than we ever believed it could be. This is reflected in the culture within the U.S. military. Our forefathers' generation would never recognize what the U.S. military has become, nor would they recognize the American way of life that military protects and serves. If those men approaching Omaha Beach in June of 1944 had even an inkling of what their country would be like two generations later, none of them would have stepped off those landing craft onto that beach. For those men to see what their America has become and what their Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and Air Force have been reduced to would break their very hearts. Open depravity in the ranks. Official persecution of any white serviceman not hewing to the politically correct and celebrating his replacement. Diversity officers overseeing special operations forces. Acceptance and validation of every demand by any non-white racial grievance group. Perversion and sexual aberrations of every description are indulged and encouraged within today's U.S. military.
We bring the boom! That's what we do. We bring the boom! We bring the boom to you. We bring the boom! We bring the boom to everyone. We bring the boom! Your favorite father and son.
Every afternoon on your FYP,
we'll be bringing the boom.
Of social status and filthy money that has brought us to the level of where we are. White power. But America was white, and America is white, and when it's over, it's going to be all white, because every goddamn Jew is going to die in this nation. White power.
White America, wake the fuck up. White America, wake the fuck up.
Yes, white America, white Canada, of course, white Italy, white Germany, white France, white England, no doubt, white Australia, and every white legacy country, wake the fuck up. As they say, it's the Jews, stupid. All right, it is the Sane Asylum number 407. Based Monday, the 23rd of March, 2026. I'm your host, Giuseppe Bafangulo, and let's bring up two of the heaviest hitter legends I know, James Mason, Les Borey. Let's start with James. Welcome, James. How was your weekend, and what's on your mind today?
Good weekend. I hope it was the same for you guys.
It's summertime here. I realize spring just started, but weather-wise, it's summer, and that's okay.
Nice.
But, man, your openers are becoming devastating. They're devastating. Yeah. They're killers. They need to be seen everywhere all the time.
You know what I started doing, James, last night on Twitter? I'm doing this new thing where I put the intro up and I say, want to watch Giuseppe's intro before the show? Check it out. So I'm going to start doing that to try and expand the reach as well.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah, Trump's trapped, just like it said in the musical number there. He's trapped, and it's looking bad, and that's good for them. You know, what's bad for them is good for us. And, boy, we don't not a peep about Epstein, right, which was the goal.
Right.
The goal anyway. We had it all figured out ahead of time. We're on record. It's, you know, people can check us out. They're not shitting us in any way, shape, or form. But the real news, we do have real news that it involves Les Borie and his march, man, his successful march in the political campaign up there.
Right.
So congratulations, Les.
Congratulations.
Round of applause. So you take it away and tell us all about it.
Thanks very much, Les. James. Thanks, Giuseppe. Yeah, just basically I've qualified for the election up here. There's a by-election. The former deputy prime minister, I believe that's what she used to be, Chrystia Freeland, decided to go help Zelensky in Ukraine, left her seat in the riding of University Rosedale. So I went and I got the signatures, and I just got confirmation yesterday that I've actually been accepted as a candidate. Now, there's only one more thing I have to do to make it completely official. I have to find a bank to open a bank account in. It isn't as easy as it seems, but it, you know, we'll get it done. I'm pretty certain about that. Nothing's absolutely certain, though, until you get it done, right? Until it's in your hand. Who knows where it's what's going to happen, but it should be fine. And I'm looking forward to this. The enemy has done some really bad things to our people, and I'm definitely the guy on the other team. I'm on the people's team, and I think people can see that, and it's going to be pretty sweet. And there's good news for us white folks, too. I mean, there's going to be a few nons that are helping us to stop the white genocide, and they're aware of it. I've told them on the campaign trail. So we're going to close that second front that they opened. It's a big deal. You know what I mean? Because they've imported an awful lot of people, and there's an awful lot of votes out there, and we don't want to throw those votes away. So I've been a good ambassador between the white folks and the others, and they're starting to see that our intentions are the best, and they're going to benefit from a good labor-first leadership in the future. Right now, I'm only running as a, we're going to say, a not-affiliated candidate, no affiliations instead of independent, basically to separate me from the rest. There was a concern that there was an organization called the Longest Ballot that might try to load the ballot up with a lot of different people, like 100 candidates or so.
Uh-huh.
And they did that out west in Alberta. And basically the ballot itself was like a meter long, which is like just over a yard long, like literally 3 foot long ballot. I mean, it's stupid that they do this kind of thing. Like I know it's a nonviolent protest, which is a good thing, but really they shouldn't interfere with the political process. They're making more of a circus out of it than it already is. So I don't really support their efforts whatsoever, especially because they use the word independent. So the smallest people are being harmed by this because the smallest people have the least chance of winning. And all they're doing is decreasing the odds of an independent winning, which is not what you want. You want independents to win. I mean, it's only a term. It's a designation. It doesn't say much about the quality of the candidate. I can't vouch for independents, but I can certainly tell you that I certainly do not vouch for the parties. That all sides of the spectrum politically, they all work for Israel. That's the thing. You can see it in their legislation, and you can see it in the fact that they do not oppose interest charging lending or interest usury. So that's a good way to put it. So basically, for people that are new to that, don't know what usury means, it means lending money and asking for interest back. Okay, it's a really bad thing because banks only print the money. They never print the money for the interest. All right, and that's another reason the gold standard is stupid, because they don't have a reserve of gold for the interest, right? It's the same problem.
Exactly.
And gold is a joke. You shouldn't even, that's a myth that you should back your currency with gold. It's stupidity. Labor is the only thing in this world that you should back your currency with, and that's it. Done. End of story. That's the way to do things. So we're going to come at the people with the best policies they've probably ever heard of or even never heard of before. And one lady that I have met during this, the course of me getting nominated, basically, she indicated she was from Germany, Now, I don't expect these people to be national socialists. I know a lot of them have been cucked. But after I met her, I was down the hall, and I looked back at her, and I thanked her for signing again. And I says, you know, our economy's a big mess. I said, our economy could use an Austrian paint job. And she started to laugh, right? So that's what we're going to do.
Nice. That's awesome.
All right, boys.
That's fantastic, Les. I mean, seriously fantastic. And it's interesting, James, that last night I was monitored as I was doing my show prep and putting the intro together. There was a lot of serious concern that because the bond, United States Treasury Department bond rates had gone up so high that today would have made the 2008 stock market collapse look like nothing. It would have probably, and it's interesting that instead Trump put a 5-day hold on attacking Iran's oil and power infrastructure to negotiate. So, man, are they on the razor's edge or what, James?
Well, what was it? 2 weeks ago, he said, we will accept nothing but unconditional surrender.
Yeah.
How about
sure,
that?
Buddy, sure.
I mean, people have, they got trouble with their short-term memory.
They do.
But it's all in the reportage, what you just said about the comparative stock market levels, whatever the hell, you know. But they're not, but yes, but they don't report it that way. If they were to report it that way, sure, people might raise an eyebrow, but they don't. They gloss right over it because they've been told to. Oh, what a stinking setup this goddamn media is. They make me sick.
No kidding, man. I totally agree. And here's another interesting thing. I just got to find it real quick. I know for a fact I put it here in my Twitter Word of G page so I could bring this up. There were so many, though, I'm going to have to scroll through. I got a lot of stuff we can cover.
You sure do a lot of work, G.
The one that I want is keep looking for it, of course.
Yes, he does a lot of work, and I don't know how the hell he does it, but that's a talented guy right there. Thank God Almighty he's on our side.
Just before the show, I was making myself a coffee, and your words ran through my head. I was going to compliment you, James, on pointing out that G's openings are unbelievable.
Yeah, they're getting better. I wouldn't have thought it possible, but they are getting better. They're devastating, my God.
Well, thanks,
like Mozart
that's
with those things, man. This guy's a genius. It's amazing. Well done, G.
Hey, here's another legend, Paul Fromm. Hey. Welcome, Paul.
Hey.
How's it going, Paul?
Oh, well, got in at about 8:30 this morning, got a bit of sleep, and all revved up to get involved.
Nice. You did an all-nighter?
Yeah, it's, well, they call it the Red Eye Special, but it got in at just about 6 o'clock, but it took a while for the luggage to arrive. Then I had to drive here and take care of a couple of things and then get some shut-eye.
How was your trip?
Oh, really good. I gave 3 talks, 2 in Vancouver, 1 in Victoria, and we had a great protest on Friday outside the offices of the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal. They're the ones I mentioned a week or two ago who fined a former school trustee $750,000 because he had campaigned for about 10 years against something called SOGI. That's the sexual orientation and gender identity sex ed program, which is the
sickening.
Institute,
yeah.
SOGI. And they instituted that in the schools of British Columbia about 10, 15 years ago. It's just perverse. And he also had these quaint ideas that there are just 2 sexes, man and woman. He's a very committed Christian. And he also spoke up about this trans business. And the teachers are urged, if a kid, first of all, they confuse the children's minds. They say, you know, you could be born in the wrong body. Well, that's hardly ever thought of by, I doubt it's thought of by one child in a thousand.
Right.
But they're actively encouraged to think that. Well, at a vulnerable time in their life, exactly. Some of them, a tiny minority, but still a few, believe that. And then they're encouraged, well, you can change. You may be born in a boy's body, but you want to be a little girl. Well, there are things that can be done, or vice versa. And of course, here's a really subversive thing. If they now start dressing as, let's say, a girl starts dressing as a boy at school and now wants to be known by a masculine name, you know,
right.
Bill instead of Betty or something, the school will not tell the parents.
Like, that's messed up.
Oh, this is seriously messed up. Anyway, he fought that. Very, very outspoken guy. And caused a lot of ruckus, and the British Columbia Teachers Federation brought him before the Human Rights Tribunal. And I think the action goes back about 8 years, but it finally got heard.
That's
earlier this year. Oh, this is seriously messed up. Anyway, so but our protests went very well. We got about 40 people, which is pretty good. And we had some great signs. I brought a banner from Ontario. We flew the flag of the Real Canada, the old red ensign, and we were handing out Druthers and Druthers is a pretty good alternative newspaper in Canada, and we handed out leaflets and got into all sorts of discussions. A number of people agreed. Two kind of swarthy-looking young guys came over and immediately grabbed my hand, and you're right. There are only two sexes. And I saw one of them. He had a kind of open shirt, and he had a chain around his neck, and it looked like a scimitar, a sword. I said, are you Muslim? He said, we're both Muslims. And you're right, he said, you're both two sexes. And he said... one of them said, I'm going to be leaving Canada. This country is sick. And I couldn't say I disagreed with him. I won't be leaving Canada. But we got a lot of positive response, a bit of negative response. One guy in a foreign accent, he was white, I think, shoved the guy who was doing videos and damaged his camera. Apparently it's not broken. No. But, oh, yeah, and another guy starts screaming, you middle-aged fellow, white, my daughter's a lesbian, but one of my grandsons is trans. Yes. He wanted to shove one of the older guys, and I think he thought better of it. He scuttled into a restaurant, so I guess he wanted to use his hands more to feed his face. Then this creature... looked like male, had a 5 o'clock shadow, kind of minced by and said, I'm trans and I have a pussy. Oh, wow. Good for you.
What's the cat's name?
I was just going to say right. That. Oh,
I'm not trans, and I've got two pussies right here in the room with me now.
Did you feed the pussy kibbles today?
Anyway. No, man, they get canned chicken.
You got to give them wet food, otherwise the kidneys will dry out.
That's right.
And then there was one very tall, skinny, white female, and she sort of ran past us,
giving you the bird.
You're number one, yeah. Paul?
You're number one. Franz, number one.
I took it as an insult, but maybe that's what it was.
You're Franz, number one.
But she looked like a witch in training. And
just out of their minds, Paul. That's what's so discouraging and disheartening. These should be white, sane people, and instead they're like worshiping demons and batshit crazy. It's insane.
Well, you know, that is actually what my talks were about the massacre at Tumbler Ridge by a transgender there about 2 months ago, early February, I guess. And in the discussion about this and other school shootings by transgendered people, the one in Nashville a few years ago, and the one up in Minneapolis, sure. A few months back, all by trannies. Right. One of the people said at the meeting that you know, this isn't just mentally disturbed people. These people are demonic, that they are possessed. And there is a video. I can't swear that it's not AI, but others have seen, and it's about the tranny up in Tumbler Ridge, British Columbia, who shot nine people altogether, including himself, mercifully. He looks almost like something like I think Ozzy Osbourne or something, a demonic face, and wow. But it was successful, and what was really good is the way many people came together around that notion that it's wrong to punish somebody for their speech, and what Barry Neufeld, the school trustee, was saying was correct. I mean, 10 years ago, hardly anybody would disagree with that. They're two genders, man and woman, and you can't change them. You know, you are what you with the biology you have at birth. That's who you are, and right. That was not controversial. Right. And the interesting thing is, it's right across the spectrum. Every race believes this. Every religion, other than the outer fringes of some nutsoid sects in Christianity, and it's the same with Judaism. Islam believes that. It's a simple thing. Two sexes, man and woman. Hinduism the same. Buddhism the same. But when we get off the track on such basic things,
sure.
Then you know, we start making other mistakes in societies, you know, as we all know.
Oh, great points. You know, we're joined now by another legend over across the pond, UK Steve. Welcome. Glad you're here. How are you, Steve? Hey, by the way, how's your new little baby boy doing? Let's see. Is Steve? He's unmuted on this end. Are you there, Steve?
Well, I see his logo on the screen. Can you hear us, Steve?
Hello, Steve. Are you there? There. No, he just muted, unmuted. Hello, Steve. Maybe you should drop out and try again, Steve, because we can't hear you. Let me take a look at his mic settings and see if it's anything I can do. Nope, it's the way it's supposed to be. Okay, I guess here's what we'll do. Let's have Steve continue to work on his end because we can't hear him anyway, but maybe otherwise he should drop out and come back in. If he can hear us, I'm not sure if he can hear us. But in the interim, you know, it's kind of annoying. I guess I had this great article set up to get you guys' thoughts on, but then it's not there. I don't know. I guess that's the nature of scrubbing these days. But basically, I'll look again, or maybe I can do a quick search and find a different listing. It was perfect, though. Iran denies missile strike. Let's see what that pulls up, what I want. All right. There was a list of 10 things that in the last 2 weeks since this latest escapade began, that they claimed Iran, the biggest one is Iran denies missile strike on Diego Garcia, claim Israeli false flag, James. So let's get everybody's thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, you know, I tend to believe them. I'm not going to
believe I do too, exactly.
I'm not going to believe a damn thing coming out of this place. You know, they're fighting for their survival. You know, we know what these jokers over here are fighting for: money. They're under orders. They're not playing it straight. So that's a simple one. And Paul brought up something very, very important, very basic. The truth, you know, is so obvious, so plain. It's there in front of your face. It's been there forever. And leave it to these Jews to come in and sow confusion.
Testing, testing.
There he is. Steve, we hear you loud and clear now, man. How are you?
I'm okay. So I had to put my preamp on, otherwise you can't actually hear me. So sorry about
that.
There
you go.
I'm actually on the backside of a flu at the moment, so please bear that in mind.
Sorry that you picked up a pathogen.
Yeah, it's spring here. It's been unusually hot. I hear things across the pond. It's very hot over there as well, so you get all the bugs coming out. But I'm a little bit muted at the moment, so please bear with me. How to start? First thoughts at the moment. I'm witnessing the unfolding of the largest calamity I've ever, ever, ever seen in my entire life. I mean, even COVID, the lockdowns, global lockdowns and all that. The logistics supplies are breaking down. They really are. And my other concern is, besides Netanyahu turning up alive, he's trying to drag European nations into a wider world war. I believe that the Diego Garcia missile strike on the British base, I believe that was actually an Israeli missile fired from a submarine.
Exactly, that's what, yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think he's done that quite a few times as well as a false flag. But he's desperately trying to bring in other nations, and that tells me that they're losing. I think they're losing because they've got no interceptors. The people, they've got a lot of desertion as well, tens of thousands of deserters. I think the figure was around 60,000 deserted out of the 450,000 that were being mobilized. So the rats are leaving the sinking ship, and the classic images, I don't know if you caught it on my channel or not, I do recommend people visiting my channel, was the cargo ship that turned up in Israel, and they had thousands upon thousands of Jews trying to get onto the ship like a mass.
Yes, I saw that.
Like a mass stampede. I think that's really very symptomatic of what's going on the ground. I mean, the biggest sort of trigger at the moment they're looking at is the strike on Iranian power facilities, which at the moment, right now, Israel has Netanyahu has decided to strike himself after Trump apparently backed down. But really, we have to understand that as Trump outsourcing the strike on desalination and power plants to the Jews. And the Jews need that to happen. They need the Iranian counter-response, which is to wipe out every power and desalination plants in the GCC. And in doing so, Netanyahu is hoping to garner a wider public support for military intervention. I don't see that happening. I do see a lot of destruction going on. But there's so many macro things that are happening right now. I think it's very easy to get distracted in short-term observations and events, even though they are very, very potent, what's going on. I think in the next 48 hours, especially at the weekend, I think this weekend's very important because the stock market closes. I think that's when Trump will actually join the Israelis in destroying Iranian infrastructure. Any comments there?
Oh, interesting. Well, James, your thoughts. Let's get everybody's thoughts on that.
Well, I'll tell you, there's no
nobody on the face of the earth more analytical than UK Steve.
I listen
to every word. You shed light like hell won't have it. I tell you, you are their grave digger. Actually, they're their own grave diggers, but you bring it out, man, painfully.
Thank you, kind words.
It's true, for sure.
Yeah, it's all true. It's all inescapable, man. You ought to be on the nightly news. We all ought to be on the major networks.
But yes.
Maybe one day we will.
How cool would it be to be on CNN going, fuck the Jew?
Well, you'd have the people out in the street dancing.
For sure. Yep. Okay, so this is interesting. Steve brought up, we'll get everybody's thoughts on this. Did Paul or Les, did you want to comment on Steve's opening soliloquy?
I constantly find myself not knowing what to believe. I've been reading information for about the last 10 days that Netanyahu was dead. And then he pops up on TV. We're obviously not being told the truth by the mainstream media. It really is a challenge. Trump announced as this morning that they're in negotiations with the Iranians. Things are going very well. There's a 5-day suspension of all attacks on Iran.
Right.
And the stock market, which had been in free fall, reversed itself this morning. I don't know what it is on the American, NASDAQ, but the Toronto Stock Exchange is up over 500 points. People really want the war to be over. If Trump does not do something to end the American participation in this attack on Iran, I see him kissing the midterms goodbye. I had to take a East Indian cab to where I parked my car, and the other people I talked to, everybody up here is talking about the price of gasoline. Now, of course, we don't vote in the American midterms, but I suspect it's not much different. In the lower 48, this alone will sink the ship, in my opinion. So if he doesn't get out fast and let the price of gasoline go right down, and in a few months, people will have forgotten it. But if this goes any further, I think it might be unsalvageable. The Iranians have quite clearly proven themselves to have a lot more staying power.
Formidable. Jeez, yeah.
And they're a huge country.
Yes, they are.
Four times the size of Iraq. And America's been bogged down in Iraq for nearly 20 years. They didn't get what they wanted, really. Afghanistan, a complete effing disaster after 20 years. Iran has 90 million people, which would be a little less than a third of the population of the United States. It won't be a pushover, and it's a huge, complicated, mountainous country. Boots on the ground. Incredible. This would be World War II. You need a couple million men. Where are you going to get them? The Europeans aren't keen on this. Right. I'm not sure the American public will put up with it. I might be wrong, but I don't sense a lot of enthusiasm. Yeah, our country, right around. It might be different if America had been directly attacked. Like after 9/11, but I don't think there's a lot of enthusiasm, except among the fundamentalist, sorry, the evangelical Israel firsters. I mean, maybe some of them want to go and die for Israel, but I don't sense a lot of enthusiasm. And wait till the body bags start coming back. That's another thing. I hear there have been over 500 American deaths.
Yeah, they're suppressing the real numbers for sure.
Well, I don't know. Is that for sure?
It seems to be the case, yes.
But we do know, but I think a lot of people are wise to this, that we are being lied to. We're not quite sure who's lying all the time or what the lies are, but yeah, it's pretty hard to believe almost anything.
Well, this is Netanyahu supposedly a couple days ago. He came out of hiding, right? So here's. This is from Steve's Telegram, UK Steve's channel, which is excellent. He's got it all set up with a very sophisticated use of bots, and he pulls down all these shows, and it's just a great channel to monitor for breaking news, especially about Ukraine or this Middle East struggle. But let's check a little bit of this out. But something interesting after we watch this is supposedly Netanyahu, right?
The third thing they did is they fired an intercontinental ballistic missiles 4,000 kilometers right into Diego Garcia, the American-British base.
Which is a lie. The Jews sent it. They can reach now with
these ballistic missiles everywhere in Europe, almost everywhere in Europe. I've been warning that for years. The fourth thing that they did is that they shut down the important maritime strait of Hormuz, trying to blackmail the world with oil terror blackmail. Four things that they're doing in 48 hours. And I asked the leaders of the world, the leaders of the free world, the leaders of the moderate states, what more are you waiting for? President Trump has correctly said that Israel, the United States and Israel in this great partnership, we're fighting the battle not only for ourselves, but for all of you. And he asked a simple question, where are you? And it's time to heed.
So that's supposedly Netanyahu, sounds like him, right? But check this out. There's a person in Germany called D-Day Own Ziffrin, is clearly, I don't know what that, I'd have to have my wife come down and translate that German. But she says that Netanyahu's presidential plane, the Wings of Zion, she took this picture March 22nd, which would be yesterday. It has been parked in Berlin for 23 straight days. And she snapped this photo. There it is, the Netanyahu's presidential plane. So the supposed death video we saw of Netanyahu in the bunker was supposedly the German bunker. So now what are we to think? Here's another picture, again, of Netanyahu's plane that it arrived. February left February 25th, arrived February 28th, has not left since. So that's unusual. I mean, so is this is that real? I guess my question, let's start with James, was that really Netanyahu?
Oh, what a tangled web we weave. We practice to deceive. So, yeah, I, you know, I'm on record for saying a week or so ago that I think the son of a bitch is still alive, but he's in hiding. And what better place to hide than in occupied Germany?
Right.
If that's true, how ironic. I mean, wow.
No kidding. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So this is interesting. So as we've said before, the Kikes, well, let's get everybody's thoughts on, is Nutty A-hole alive? Let's go next to Les. Les, is he alive?
I don't know. I saw the footage from the bunker. It looked kind of fake. I mean, it looked like something out of the 50s.
You know, yeah, right. I agree. It did look fake. Yep.
Come on, give me a break. You know, that's the thing. I don't know. I know what to say. Like what Paul said is how I feel as well about the information coming out. I don't know what to trust. I don't know who.
Well, hold on, Les. Why did they put up all those AI nutty a-holes about last week where it had six fingers, and then they did the one in the coffee shop that, I have five fingers, but it was someone was holding a camera videoing, and then it didn't match the black dude and the white chick behind the counter that you see in the screen of the video camera were not what was being presented in the video. And on the coffee cup itself, the written date was 2024. So again, that's AI. I have five fingers, right? So why were they compelled, Les, to do all these nutty a-hole AIs until they had the right guy ready to go play nutty a-hole? I'm just postulating here.
I've got no idea why they do that. It gets us talking about something else except for the immediate problem.
Right. What's going on? It makes no sense. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just more disinformation. It's more of this cartoon show that they're showing us. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
What I do know is that they're contracting the money supply, though. And basically, you know that these guys try to ruin the economies because then they can despoil your nation by making it very poor. It opens up the nation for invasion or for taking over. I read that in Machiavelli's book. Basically, what you do when you want to take over a nation, despoil it, right? Make it poor. And then you can either install your people there to make them live locally amongst the people to detect any kind of an uprising, or you can install puppets. And these people have done all three, it seems. They've despoiled, they've moved into the countries, and they've installed puppets as well. So they're really trying to do the trifecta of control
right.
over the nations of the world. So what people of the world should do is get rid of their governments and get rid of interest-charging banking, and that would remove the war chest from these Zionist communists, and that would be the beginning of the end for these people that want to genocide the entire world just because they're not the same people as everybody else. It's unbelievable. It's just – I didn't think I'd ever see evil like this. I didn't think evil like this even existed. You know, it's just amazing what's out there.
Well, that's a very, very ponderous statement, and we'll get everybody's thoughts, because it's always been around, but they always hid in the shadows, right? I mean, look at Stanley Kubrick made that movie that ultimately got him assassinated, Eyes Wide Shut, tracking, you know, the Rothschilds and their satanic parties and orgies and sacrifice and all that sick satanic shit. And that got him killed, and that was what in the 80s or 90s that was. But they used to hide and kept it away less from the mainstream, and now they're trying to shift, in my opinion, the Overton window to make Talmudism, the sick kike real Bible, the devil's handbook, into the operating modus operandi of the first world, and it just cannot stand.
Oh, no doubt. I saw a report from on the CBC, I think it was. And I think it was the in Canada, the Center for Israel Jewish Affair, the Jewish terrorist organization that uses police violence to scare people into being quiet. It's one of the ones they have here. Mm-hmm. They're looking to make more anti-speech laws and anti-Semitism laws, right? Where it's just amazing. I mean, because of some kind of a shooting at a synagogue, and we still don't know who the shooters were.
Right.
It wouldn't be their first rodeo to, do things to their own buildings and false flag that up to get a legislative result that benefits them instead of us. You know, that like humanity, you know what I'm saying? And basically, they're trying to get more terror to impose on the Canadian people by way of legislation and police violence. You know, that I don't know what else they're going to do. I mean, well, I know what they'd probably like to do, but basically the Canadian people are starting to get wise to this. And pretty soon we're going to hear some confession when they see that I'm in the election. And then all that's going to direct people to probably the best website in Canadian politics. So I'm looking forward to the taking a bit of pain for a long-term gain.
There you go.
Les is so right about doing it to themselves. April is there's some sort of Jewish event during April, or maybe it's fundraising time. But I was told 30 years ago, watch out for April. T.S. Eliot said April is the cruelest month. Well, I don't know about that, but it's always a dangerous time because they usually will stage some sort of, quote, anti-Semitic event. Well, this would be about 10 years ago, but in one April, some poor Palestinian took a magic marker and wrote, they did a Star of David equals a swastika on some sort of Well, that got a lot of publicity. Oh, anti-Semitism. Then there were some phone calls made to Jewish students at a large Jewish high school. They were anti-Semitic, supposedly. And then there were gravestones knocked down in a Jewish cemetery. And, oh, that just another outbreak of anti-Semitism. And the politicians, a number of them showed up. I think it was the chief of police, and they all had on their donkey looks, looking very serious about, you know, the anti-Semitism. And then there were some garage doors that were spray painted with swastikas in a Jewish area north of Toronto and Thornhill. Okay, when everything got investigated, okay, the Palestinian really did, you know, magic marker, star of David equals swastika. The phone call, the anti-Semitic phone calls to this Jewish girl, it turned out, were made by another Jewish student who had something.
Right.
The swastikas on people's garage doors, they caught the person. It was a Jew.
Exactly.
And then finally, what seemed to be the most serious incident, the knocking down of gravestones. About 2 months later, there was a report that the 20-something-year-old son of the graveyard caretaker had been arrested, and the story died. You never heard another thing. Well, I was imagine that the custodian or caretaker of the Jewish graveyard would be Jewish, right? Because
yes,
it was never another thing. If it had been, let's say, a young white guy, well, you've had his name. You know, there would have been a big to do about it. He'd have been charged, and there'd be a trial, and I'm very suspicious about there have been a number of shootings at a Jewish a girls' school. There've been three over the last year or so, always in the middle of the night. It hits the door or the wall, it strikes me, if you were serious about doing damage, you wouldn't use a gun, because we're so paranoid about guns up here. It's a big offense if they don't like you. If you're a black gangster, it doesn't matter. But if you got caught, just the possession of the weapon for an illegal purpose, it would be a charge. They don't do much damage, but it's... It's great publicity the next day. The press takes it up and, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, anti-Semitism, we need more laws. It doesn't really do much damage. I would think if somebody was serious about doing some damage, well, do something, light a fire or use a flare gun or I don't know, but it really stinks. And there was an article over the weekend. The National Post is a fairly good paper on immigration and affirmative action stuff, but it's 110% pro-Israel. I mean, it gets boring. It's quite thin, and I would say 30 to 40% of almost every issue is Jew, anti-Semitism, and it's never been worse, and blah, 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 blah. Well, there was a long article about the rise of anti-Semitism in Canada over the past few years. And near the end of it, they were quoting the head of the organization that Les was mentioning. His name is Noah Shack. Noah Shack, and he's the head of the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs. And he was saying, and we need more hate laws. We need to crack down on the stuff on the internet, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, I've heard the same tune for 50 years from these people or their predecessors, like the old Canadian Jewish Congress or B'nai B'rith. It's always suppressing people. I don't know of any other religion that is constantly wanting censorship. And other than the LGBTQ crowd, I don't see most other minorities always wanting people to be shut up. And I think maybe, you know, the polls do back up the fact there's growing dislike. I don't call it anti-Semitism, but there's growing dislike of Jews and particularly state of Israel. What do you call? I mean, there's no other word to describe this collection of assassins.
It's hatred. It's not dislike. I mean, we've all been forced since October 7th of 2024 to watch a literal ruthless mass murdering of the native Palestinian public. It's gotten to the point now where even Tucker Carlson, who I think is controlled opposition, recently did an article asking, running it up the flagpole about is Netanyahu even a native Jew, right? The whole point that the Johns Hopkins study brought out and elaborated again in last year, I think, that the nutty a-hole and all those Eastern Europeans have no ties to the Palestine, and they're essentially conquerors and occupiers. They're not native Israelites, which they claim. It's all bullshit. So here's one thing, and let's take a break here at the top of the hour. Right now, Paul, you asked how the U.S. Stock Exchange is doing. It's up 820 points, which was interesting because there was great fears because of the insane high numbers of the bond yields that were being represented Sunday night, that they were thinking that the experts that this was going to be a catastrophic collapse worldwide of stock markets to the tune of, you know, 10,000, 20,000 points. So that's interesting that Trump, Michael asked, do I know who Gypsy Crusader is? Yeah, Paul Miller. He's been on my show before. That's interesting. But in the meantime, let's take a quick break and say hello to everybody in the chat. Turn off the auto scroll. Scroll, scroll, scroll on the auto scroll. So Veritas is here. The more Jews whine about anti-Semitism, the more that it increases. 99% of what Jews consider to be anti-Semitism is bullshit. Exactly right. I mean, everybody probably saw those clips last week of the one Jew headbutting some dude holding the flag of the Palestinian. He headbutted the flagpole and said, "Why'd you hit me with that flag?" And it was videoed that he didn't. And there's more insane actions by these Jews every 24/7. It's just insane. And Veritas again says, "Jews can dish it out, but sure as hell can't take it." Isn't that the truth? Bushmaster says, "That's right, Claxton. Knock down and use the rocks for fishing jetties in Jersey and New York." I'm not sure exactly what that means. Always Honest has put up these are fertilizer stocks. Holy moly, look at that. They're gonna make food very expensive, but you don't want to eat goy slop. You don't want to eat anything with petroleum based fertilizers anyway. But look at that, that's insane. Holy cow, look at the price just rocketing with fertilizer prices. That's gonna be an issue. Good point bringing that up. Here's another one. Global average 10-year bond yield. Yeah, that's so crazy that it's so high now. And typically when the bonds go up, the stock market goes down. But nothing's real anymore. It's all the hidden hand, I think. And
you know, some people say, I don't have any stocks. It doesn't matter. But a lot of people in the States, their pension fund, the IRA, I think you call them the IRA.
IRAs are in individual retirement accounts. Typically, yeah,
most of them.
401ks is the joint retirement. So,
and in Canada, if you have a corporate pension, usually the money's invested in the stock market. So this is my way of saying it is important whether you yourself play the market or not. And that was one of Trump's big boasts, and he was correct. The markets have gone up very considerably under his presidency. But if they are going the other way, and they're turning around today, but we have to see, you know, is that just a blip or not? But if they go down, one of his big claims to fame will have bounced back on him. And I think that the Republicans could get creamed at the midterms, and that won't be a good thing. But that's why I'm hoping that the latest announcements are for real. And no matter how they frame it, America's got to get out of that war.
Here's an interesting news, Paul. Here's interesting breaking news about the midterm elections. The Supreme Court of the United States appears ready to limit mail-in balloting ahead of midterms, and that's how the communist Bolshevik 2.0 have been stealing elections. That's how this government, this traitor, seditious witch, analingus sperm gargler, the new governor of Virginia, got installed. Sears Winsome, or Winsome Sears, I forget which way the hyphen goes, the Jamaican national who came to America, enlisted in the Marines and served this country and therefore became a citizen. She was up about 120 votes or more, looked like late into the election, and all of a sudden they did the same thing they did to get Biden a win in Virginia. They dumped like 240,000 phony ballots late in the middle of the evening, and all of a sudden sperm garglers got the win, and it's insane. So massive corruption with that woman.
I saw pictures of her over the weekend. She absolutely looks like the Wicked Witch of the West from
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I mean, like a huge honker, a pale face. Crap, how did they ever vote for her? Well, maybe they didn't.
Well, they didn't. Yeah, that's the key. Winsome Sears or Sears Winsome. I have a bunch of those pictures. Let me scroll down and find a couple for you.
Yeah, when they raise the price of oil, I mean, of course the stock market's going to go up because people know that prices will go up. And not just enough to make up for the oil price. They're going to gouge a bit, so there's profit in there for people, right? That's why the stock market's going to go up.
Yep, there you go. Here's one that's pretty good, that they have her as a demonic
can I comment that, please?
Sure, go ahead. Here's the new governor.
Oh my god.
AI is something.
Looks
so real.
Jeez. You're right, Paul. She looks pretty rough.
She looks pretty rough, all right.
Imagine waking up. There she is. That's the one.
There we go. There we are.
There you go, a little witch.
Imagine waking up beside that. It'd be enough to turn you.
Oh, my God. I mean, she's wringing her hands like a happy merchant the other day when she went and voted. There's another one.
Merchant of death.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here's the one where she was just like.
That's the one.
Total looks like a happy merchant. She's even got the beak. I don't think she's Jewish, but she may be, because she married a Spanberger. She married that into that last name. That's not her name. She's some type of communist from New Jersey or something. But yeah, isn't that crazy? So, all right, let's get back to the saying hello to everybody. Hey, Pac-Man 40's here. Hey, Les Borey, is there time today or on another show? I've been trying to hash out in my mind if labor-backed currency would put an end to mass migration, as in now that everyone's money is tied to labor having a decent value, you wouldn't want people working for peanuts because then your currency is less valuable. I'll give it some more thought on my own, but curious what you think off the top of your head. That's a great question for the whole panel, Les. I know Steve will have some thoughts, so go ahead, Les.
Yeah, it could very much do that. I mean, if in the public sector, it wouldn't make much of an effect because prices are set for the wages are set for the civil servants. But in the private sector, it certainly could, depending on how employees treated or employers treat their employees and how they respect things like seniority and loyalty. Right? If they're just chasing the bottom line with no morals, of course they're gonna push people out that are equally capable for people that are cheaper, right? And that's unfortunate, but that's why you need a good minimum wage to make sure that no matter how low it goes, it can't go too low so that the standard of living doesn't drop too much, right? Right now in Canada, we've got obviously the minimum wage doesn't keep up with inflation, but if we knock our prices back to the 90s like we're going to do when we win, basically we're going to keep the minimum wage where it is now. And the combination of today's minimum wage combined with prices from the 90s for a lot of goods means a stronger dollar because the working man can get more for their dollar and their paycheck will go further. And that'll lower inflation and raise the standard of living. So as long as you put in safeguards, your people will be okay. Besides, immigration policies should dictate immigration, not economic policies so much. I mean, if you need I said that a bit wrong, actually. Basically, immigration policies can safeguard your workforce, but economic policies basically determine what your nation needs to operate, right? If you need workers, you let workers in or have more babies. You know, that's the thing. You don't need to bring people in to flood your nation to water down your workforce. And that's what's been intentionally done in the entire right. Western world right now. So that's my answer to that. I hope it was clear. I've never really considered that before, but just put in safeguards and your workforce will be okay. And don't let too many people in your country, if your employment rate is very high, you don't want to add to that problem, that difficulty for the working man or people of your country. Thank you for your question too. It's very thoughtful. That kind of helps my mind move around a bit too and get the blood pumping up in the old head department there. It's good not to be stagnant on these money issues because, you might know a lot, but you'll never know everything. There's all kinds of different nuances to consider. And thank you very much again for your question. It was wonderful.
Right. APAC Man 40. Great question. Anybody else want to comment on that? The tying labor? Steve, yeah. You got any thoughts?
Yeah, can I? In fact, I've got quite a few points to make.
Sure, go ahead.
In the context of Netanyahu pushing evil the other day, I don't know if you watched that, where he was trying to justify evil on the grounds of...
Oh, Genghis Khan versus Jesus Christ, that clip.
Right. And what I'm trying to get at is there's no rules or morality which is limiting what he's doing, okay?
Sure.
Right. And... I think we have to look not just at the military thing. I mean, NATO and the US pulled out of Iraq at the moment. I think they've got a couple of bases in Kurdistan. They've also pulled out of Syria. So one has to look at that and say, well, unless there's a ground operation coming into southern Iran and some of their Gulf countries, they're abandoning the Middle East. Now, what I think there really is going on is a few things. I think they might be trying to sacrifice Israel, believe it or not. If they can't get the people, the ground operation with the Goyim, they're going to try and make money another way. So and when I look and see things like Goldman Sachs saying they're going to see oil up to $147 a barrel,
sure.
It's unsustainable and it's going to carry on. You won't be able to rebuild those refineries in a short space of time. This is permanent damage. So I think there's a couple of things. I think the AI bubble is being popped, number one. The AI bubble in America is 1.1% of GDP versus personal consumption, which is 0.7, which means nobody's got any money. No one's spending anything, and it's only the top five tech bros that are actually keeping this AI bubble alive. And it's an unimaginable amount of money, trillions and trillions of dollars. But that's going to get popped. And if you consider that AI is taking out jobs faster than creation,
right?
If you consider that a lot, a fair size wedge, I won't say the majority, but a fair size wedge of that global AI investment is in the Gulf. And at the same time, they're taking out troops. You know, there's going to be a massive war zone if they have boots on the ground, especially if they hit the power infrastructure. I've seen data centers being hit. All that investment in AI was for nothing. It's going to be shown for nothing. And it's that which will tank the stock market. I mean, you were alluding to earlier, I think it was a $1 trillion swing in 56 minutes on the S&P 500, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the second point, well, I've got three, but the second point is the pensions. I think Paul alluded to that earlier. The pensions, if you've got a stock market crash, if the AI bubble has been popped, then they essentially are going to loot all the pensions and liquidate them. They had this problem with COVID and the death jab, where originally the idea was to kill off all the old people so you don't have to pay them a pension.
Sure.
And everybody who got vaccinated, their average life expectancy now is 58, well below retirement age. If you pop that AI bubble, then I can easily see the pensions going square. And obviously, where does this... what does this mean? It means the Jews don't want to pay the pension liabilities.
Right.
And number three, the fertilizer costs. So whilst this economic chaos with the AI bubble being popped, the pensions being looted, the fertilizer costs are up 44% year on year. They're not getting to the American market on time, although I don't think the Americans will be hit that hard. It'll be everybody else who doesn't have an agricultural-based economy and can't get fertilizer. Those guys are screwed. If you're in Africa or the Far East, you're absolutely toast. And finally, just a final comment. Besides those UK fire ambulances, yet another false flag on gold is green.
Right.
Yeah. But I want to just have a quote from Elon Musk. He said, this is recently, and this is where you see like people are distancing themselves from Trump, and Trump's trying to pin this war on death there. But Elon Musk says, "I haven't been to DC since May. The government is basically unfixable. I've applauded David Sachs' noble efforts, but at the end of the day, if you look at our national debt, if AI and robots don't solve our national debt, we're toast." So I actually think that's true. I do think the US is toast, but I also think Europe is toast as well. And I think in the new paradigm that's coming, we don't really want to have a rehash of what went on before. So in answer to Leslie Borey's point, the key thing I want to see with the workers is profit sharing, an absolute plank of NSDAP policy, where you have a percentage going to the investors who obviously risk some capital to establish good business, but the people actually running that business above a certain amount of employment, they, in order to be motivated, must share in that profit and to be negotiated as sensible as such on a national basis. And it's not good enough for people to turn around and say, oh, well, Steve, in the future, you've got to train with AI. Not everybody can work at AI. We've still got to have people who work in sanitation, people who work in hospitals, schools, scientists, all the rest of it. Not everybody is going to be working in AI. So we need a balanced economy after this calamity. But I don't want to see it as a rehashed laissez-faire post-liberalism. I don't want to see that. What I want to see is policies that worked. And when we go back to Germany, when we look at the German economic miracle, it worked for a reason. And it's those reasons that we need to extract, take those policies, put them into your nation, have a good groundwork, what Leslie says, organization all the time. Absolutely. Because it's the ground operation of our movement which will be able to implement said policies. And then, only then will things start to get better. Any comments there?
Anybody want to jump in?
Well, yes, I will. I will real quick. Just like the sexual orientation thing we were talking about a half an hour ago. Things are simple. Things are simple. Unless the Jews move in and muddy the waters. And all we have to do is get them out. And as Steve hinted at, we can experience our own economic miracle across the entire white West.
Great point, James. Great point. All right, let's get back and finish up saying hello to everybody in the chat. There's our new messages. Paisan, Michael, Sister Nino, 100% in agreement with Steve. The Brilliant Veritas says, spam. I think Veritas is right. That Spanberger's husband is a kike. Look at that beak and the ears. No wonder she got fast tracked. Ugh, what an evil, ugly bitch she is. Ugh. Okay, let's see. Bushmaster 6A had to go back to work, but he said, did anybody hear about the death of the kike owner of OnlyFans, billionaire dead at 45 from cancer? God will punish these vice peddlers. I did see that. That is interesting. And supposedly some rabbi bought it from the dead guy's family or something crazy. These vile kikes, say it with me, vile kikes. All right, let's see. Let's go up to, all right, we asked that, all right, with Les Borey. There's Johnny Sunshine. April was when the Waco massacre took place, and 2 years later, the Oklahoma bombing happened. Yeah, right, in the early 90s, that was all Clinton's. We didn't realize what traitors they were, but boy, were they ever. The other thing Johnny Sunshine brings up is tomorrow is the birthday of, or actually it's the remembrance of the passing of St. James P. Wickstrom, the Christian saint who names the Jew like few others. And thank you for that 1488, Johnny. And my buddy Straight Out of Swamp says, that's what I was saying. Minute one, the kikes will make shit up that Iran can strike anywhere to instill fear and up the boomer fear. And that's exactly right. Those missiles like to Diego Garcia, that's Israel's missiles, not Iran. Iran would tell you if they've been quite forthright in everything that they take credit for that they're actually doing. So let's see. I love Jesus Christ is here, and he says hallelujah to at Serbian Bull. That's funny. Yeah, Leonid Rudvinsky, the founder of the digital pimping and prostitution website OnlyFans, died today at age 43. No, hey, another dead kike, man. It warms the cockles of my heart to think
about. Who was this guy?
The creator of OnlyFans. That's that sick website that all these white chicks go and try and make money by being a whore. You go online, and it's like legitimate. You know, you used to have those 900 numbers to talk to a model. You know, they were on late night TV like 20 or 30 years ago. And now OnlyFans is that version where you can call and talk to some young hottie who you pay her enough money and she'll pretend to be excited by you. So there you go.
So it's the 2020s version of phone sex.
Yes, exactly right. Video phone sex now. Oh. So Leonid Radvinsky, actually, let's look that up and see what the story is with good old Leonid Yandex. That's interesting. What a piece of shit. Man, it's so sad what the kikes do with porn, and it's so sad that the moral fiber of whites has worn so thin that you don't, you know, every young woman should know that save it for a good guy and have lots of white babies, and instead they're doing the exact opposite. OnlyFans. founder died. Let's see what that brings. Yep, there you go. Here we go. I guess we'll go with the Guardian, and lots of things will pop up. Leonid Radzinski, owner of OnlyFans, dies aged 43. Ukrainian-American billionaire who owns subscription company died of cancer, the company says. So now this, to me, doesn't look like a strong-chinned German. I mean, look at that kike beak, the beady eyes, the big ears. That is a kike for sure.
I think you nailed that one.
Yeah, I think I did. I think I'm correct.
Can I comment, please?
Sure, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Whilst we're on the topic of Ukraine, a couple of things. Last night, Zelensky bombed in the Gulf of Finland some Russian gas export facilities, yeah? Uh-huh. Now, his calculation is if he makes the energy crisis worse, it will draw Trump's attention away from the Iran war. And I think this is in the context of, I think Ukraine has enough diesel till April.
Oh, wow.
So what I'm driving at is there's a parallel two-front war going on.
Sure. You've
got Ukraine on one side and Iran on the other. I'm not sure they can fight both.
Right.
And yes, and as a result, it gets worse quicker, because you're trying to fight on two fronts rather than just one. So I think what happened is they tried to get this war going in Ukraine to destroy Europe, because it gets rid of them. And then they wanted to go into Iran, which is the Israeli war, which is the war they really wanted to fight. But they wanted to leave Europe to keep fighting the Ukrainian war whilst America fights the Iranian war. That was the plan. Now, I think that's going tits up. I really do. And I think it's what's going to happen is it's only going to hasten the end of both wars with a full military loss. And I think this mentality, this neocon Jewish mentality of escalation and murder is the only way of solving their problems, is actually making their problems worse. And it's committing the enemy, in particular Iran, not to negotiate. And every time you do stuff like this, where you blow up energy facilities, which take years and years to build, years.
Right.
You've got very permanent macro effects now built in to the global structure. So I think it's very important to actually not lose sight when we're looking at the Iran war, to keep an eye on Ukraine. In particular, it's most of its energy is imported, in particular on the diesel. Because the army will be running on the diesel. Sure. And they've got until April. So I'm going to have to take a look now and recalculate my time frame with Ukraine as to when the army actually starts to fracture. Because can you see Europe not only fighting this war, but actually paying for it in Ukraine? And for how much longer? And I think the Ukraine war is going to become increasingly unpopular, especially any attempts for conscription efforts as the Russians roll forward with the Russian steamroller towards the Polish border. We're going to see a government crushed from both sides within the EU, and I believe it will lead to the fall of the EU. The question is, will that benefit America? And with what's going on in Iran, boots on the ground, it's all pie in the sky. It's a turkey shoot. The only thing they can do possibly is to have a full-on invasion in the south coastal area of Iran, where they've got degraded air defense, which is not that degraded, by the way, because they've got passive radar and heat-seeking homing missiles who are ambushing fighters. But I don't see any political support for that ground operation, in particular, say, for a draft. Because it's going to take hundreds of thousands of men, much larger than the Iraq war, to go into Iran and to stop those missiles. It's not going to happen. And the reason those missiles are very important is because they take out large static targets like power plants, gas facilities, and desalination plants, who are sitting ducks. And I guess also that, as an outlier, if you imagine yourself as a Jewish politician right now, you don't want to be giving any geolocations away. So they probably are alive, probably, because they're cowards. And cowards, the first thing they'll do is to run and to hide.
Sure.
The moment they stick their head above ground, they're just going to get a ballistic hypersonic to the face. Well, that's probably led to Netanyahu running around and hiding in Germany. I could well believe that.
Sure.
Those are my two points there to do with Ukraine. Keep an eye on Ukraine and how the energy crisis affects Ukraine and how that precipitates a quicker loss. And does that benefit America? And how is this going to benefit the EU exactly? I don't see it. And therefore, right. We should be thinking of how this affects the EU project as a whole. And I can only see calamity across the board. And this is only going to get worse, because another prediction I've got, because of those fertilizer shortages, I think we're going to go back to rationing. And people, if you've got rationing on right. the cards, be it oil, diesel, gas, food, that's never going to be popular politically. So we need to be sort of in position, let it all fall, but concentrate on the ground operation, like Leslie says, to offer those policies which are able to get out to the masses, sound policies, a very short list of them, maybe 10, that people can remember and get behind and to support. Because the time is coming after April and before the midterms when there's going to be such political turmoil. I mean, they say chaos is a ladder. Well, that ladder's for us. And we've got to be there climbing those rungs with the right policies, making sure our message gets out outside the legacy Jewish media. And you're right about having the policies will lead to a substantive hope. And that's what the public needs. They've been so downtrodden. They've been assaulted from so much different directions. The only thing we need to do is to be compass mentis, have sound policies which have worked in the past. And I believe in the people. I believe in the people's common sense to get behind us and to move forward, because the enemy is making mistakes. All we need to do is not get in the way of them making them. Any comments?
Exactly. Well said.
Yes. Well, Steve, to validate your point and get everyone's thoughts, in the last couple weeks of elections, so starting back with Japan electing a very far right-wing prime minister. They're calling her the Iron Lady, like Margaret Thatcher of the 80s. Then in Virginia, a special election was held in, heavy communist Fairfax County, and a white Republican won. No white Republicans won in almost 30 years, and that just shows how sick. And then you've got in France last week, a super far-right candidate unexpectedly won. And then last night, evidently, amazing gains by – now, the Germans will tell you that AfD party isn't legit, but it's being treated as far-right legit. And they picked up 11% gains. I mean, so there's something going on here. The average normie – is sick of this commie kike bullshit and this war bullshit, and they're voting, actually getting out and voting for a candidate, you know, which is a message for a change.
And Giuseppe, they're going to be having energy lockdowns soon. So the only answer they've got at the moment, I keep seeing this policy suggested again and again and again and again in every way they want to insert it, is lockdown. We just need to position ourselves for the freedom, what we've always stood for. And if we say ahead of time that we're not going to have any lockdowns, we take an anti-lockdown policy to make that right. a flagship policy, you're removing a central plank from the enemy. And as they come up to those midterms, they'll be wanting to ban elections, they'll be wanting to gerrymander different borders like we've seen in the UK, postpone elections, have lockdowns, rationing. All that's sure. coming. And if we can anticipate that, have the policies, get out to our nationalist organizations, which is what I was trying to hint at with the nationalist summit with Dave Gahary for a while, is that if we contact and have a nationalist summit with people with ground operations, no matter how small, all the media will be focused on them as white supremacists. If they have those flagship policies, which are anti-government, they're going to get larger and larger. And you'll start to see their ground operations swell and swell, but they'll have decent policies which are preemptive of the enemy, and especially what I think is coming, which is rationing and energy lockdowns.
Yep, they're desperate to lock down and break the spirit.
Oh,
elections throw, all going as a fuck you to the globalists. James, did you hear me?
You talking to me?
Yeah, I said your thoughts on all these special elections.
You got to speak up, man. You got to speak up.
Sorry, bro.
Special elections. Well, you know, that's the old shell game, isn't it? Which shell is the peanut under and the hand is quicker than the eye? And they've been falling for it for generations. The only thing that might possibly wake them up or shake them loose is the economic issue when things really, really start to tighten up beyond any toleration.
Great point, James. Les, you got any thoughts on all these special elections swinging towards sanity?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what we're trying to do here as well. And we've had a great time. I think the creator's lined this thing up. You know, he's handcrafted.
Starting to look that way, which is exciting. Yep.
It sure is, man. There's a lot of things coming together that I couldn't even imagine happening. And Steve was right about the demoralization. Basically, good politics will reverse that demoralization and get people into a fighting mood because now they can put their efforts towards something real that they actually expect to succeed, which it will. And Steve also mentioned profit sharing. In the future, when we don't have inflation anymore, at least that, like, basically, we're going to eliminate the causes of the majority of inflation, if not all of it, except for gouging, right? Which we can limit with legislation and set prices for certain things. We can do this, but you know, the free market will do what it will. The thing is, though, when you don't have interest, you don't have taxation anymore. Basically, you don't have inflation anymore. And at that point, to make things interesting for the worker, because they're used to getting a cost of living increase regularly, so they're used to getting more money. I know they disassociate the amount of money they get sometimes with what they receive, like what they can buy with it. I know that they can feel it, but basically they like to get used to that idea of getting more money, like a bigger number every once in a while to show up for work and make things more interesting for them. Basically, what you got to do is, like Steve said, and it's up to the private sector how they want to retain their workers, but profit sharing is an excellent way to do that. I was thinking a sliding scale for the civil service, you know, reward them for years of service just to keep them around. Even if they're doing the same thing they did when they first started, we'll have to reward loyalty because we want people to serve the Canadian public as civil servants. So we'll do that and with a pay scale that rewards their years of service, plus maybe a little bit of a bonus on top of that. And I recommend that the employers in the private sector don't get too stingy or they're going to find themselves with no workers when the economy booms, because it's going to be a workers' economy in the future. I feel, you know, it's going to be unreal. Like there's going to be so many jobs out there doing just regular jobs, like even picking fruit and vegetables in Canada. We don't want to be bringing in foreigners to do that. We want to employ our own people.
That's
a critical thing. Growing your own food is as important as having your own army. These things are vital to life for your nation, and that's the thing. So we have to put a greater emphasis on agriculture in our nation and to make sure that the farmers are profitable and also the farm workers. And it shouldn't be a low-down occupation. It should be a highly respected occupation because, you know, when the food supply goes away or disappears, people are going to be, you know, putting a high value on that food, right? And that's the thing. So like Hitler said, you know, Germans don't eat gold, Germans eat potatoes, right? So basically people have a high value when it comes to, put a high value on food at any time, but especially during times of crisis, right? So we have to make sure that we always have the people in place to do the work. And the way Steve suggested that is probably one of the best ways to do it is to share the profit with the workers, and the farmers better learn to do that as well.
Totally agree. Now, Paul Fromm, any thoughts on these last several special elections are definitely a middle finger to the powers that be.
Yeah, I think there's a tremendous unhappiness at the grassroots, and that these various individuals and of course the AfD in Germany are providing answers to some of this unhappiness. I sense particularly among young men, maybe 18 to 35, are growing anger and the sense that they're not going to have much of a future. Not of course, in every case, there are people who will do well, but there's a large number of people. At least I see this in Canada, that look forward to a future that will be worse than their parents, and that's unheard of for at least the last 100 years.
So sad.
We'll be better off than the one before. And the absolutely vicious, at least in Canada, anti-white employment policies in big corporations and, of course, various levels of government. They'll hire anything but a white man, you know, this minority, that minority, LGBTQ, XYZ. And, of course, the endless propaganda against whites in general and white males in particular. I think that there's a bit of a revolt going on. And I think that is a factor in the elections, the three election results you're referring to.
I think you're absolutely right. And I want to just get back to the chat. There's been such a great panel discussion that we kind of got, but that's right. We can still just do things late. But on a point that I'd like to get always honest, the brilliant co-host of Davis Lerman's Thursday night show, and she also does my final Friday of the month with the White Nationalist Socialist Ladies Roundtable. But she brought this up. Here we go. So Morgan, I don't know who Morgan is, but it's at Morgan CZZZ March 20. So Qatar LNG gets hit by morning. Shenar is at an all-time high. Venture Global up 61%. And Wall Street has buy notes on out before the damage assessment is in. European firms had signed forward supply deals for U.S. LNG 17 days earlier. What the headlines missed, every facility struck was already scheduled for demolition or redevelopment. Uh-huh. Rosslaffen phased out for North Field expansion planned, filed 2020. RosTanura had a $2.6 billion modernization filed in 2019. Jebel Ali, mid-demolition for luxury redevelopment. The, in quotes, Iranian strikes keep landing exactly where the bulldozers were already going. Then look at Iraq, the development road, a $17 billion corridor bypassing Hormuz outside every U.S. financial choke point with Chinese engineering and investment throughout. Al-Fa Basra, Baghdad, Mosul, Erbil, struck node by node before it could become operational. The only military air presence tracked consistently over every strike corridor was American. Just enough damage to knock competing infrastructure offline. U.S. LNG steps into the gap. The competing corridor is gone before it opens. Everyone covering this is somehow not seeing any of it. This isn't war. It's restructuring. And the invoice was already written. I think that's a great point by Always Honest. And then here was the competing, here's the competing Iraqi pipeline road. And here's, look at all the attacks. Every step of the way, the U.S. is destroying that and blaming Iran. How funny is that? Wow. I mean, dirty dogs, to say the least, James Mason. And let's get everybody's thoughts on this. This is that's a great point, Always Honest. Great, wow. Great point.
It's always good. It's always essential to analyze these people and what's going on while it's going on. Try to anticipate if you can.
Right.
Don't give them too much credit. Don't give them too much credit. They're not infallible. And they're proving it. They're proving it now. They're proving it.
Yep, that's it.
That's the good news.
That's awesome. And Klasha made a funny. Let me find it. It's a good line. There's white smoke in Tel Aviv, indicating they have chosen a new OnlyFans CEO. That's
a good one.
So let's see. Let's quickly just remind everybody that if you want to buy anything from Dave Gahari's valuable revisionist imprints, Erasing the Liberty, Turning the Tide Publishing, Moonrock Books, or Money Tree Publishing, use the code G-Man and you can save 10% on your entire order, except for the Siege audiobook, which is just amazing, and Flood gets 20 of that $25 for the just yeoman's work he did. And then the t-shirts, $25. Oy vey, they're marked so low, goy, sorry. But they're awesome t-shirts, and I've seen just about everybody wearing it at some point or another on the panel, except James does not wear t-shirts. Dave informed me. I can respect that. So
I have one on right now, but I don't wear underclothing as outer clothing.
Well, there you go. He's a traditionalist. This man is a traditionalist, and I respect that. All right. So then, if you want to use crypto, oh man, I didn't even want to look, but crypto is still pretty low. It's up a little bit, but in the heyday, my $800 crypto investment had doubled, and now it's down. This is not the heyday. It's down to 678, so that just shows you they've really been pummeling crypto, but hope springs eternal for that, buying all that that penny stock, and maybe it would run, but none of them have run, and this is years. I kind of think crypto is a little bit of a scam myself, but hey, why not? Wall Street's a scam. So, all right, and then if you want to use crypto, though, you can use crypto. You just got to go to Money Tree Publishing. Dave is a shrewd guy, and his tech guys, instead of trying to find another server because the kikes keep destroying his credit card processing at Money Tree Publishing, he set it up to buy with crypto. So, again, the key differentiator, yeah, you use crypto at Money Tree Publishing. You use your credit card or debit card at BandByAmazon.com and use the code G-Man, except for the audiobooks or t-shirts, and save 10%, which you really, really should do. Why not? All right, let's just quickly take a look. Thomas Dwyer's here, the great man. He was on the Legend and Veterans panel. That was an awesome show last Friday. We're going to be doing that once a month, every month now. Let's see. And again, this Friday is going to be the ladies, the National White Ladies. Those are always great, great discussions. So Thomas put up some good memes. This one looks good. Let's check it out. Oh, do I have it up on the screen? Yeah, I do. Let's just go this way so you can see it all. Far off in the distance is where you should fuck off and take your Zionism with you. That's right. Good one, Thomas. All right. This is bad. A swampy, the great cattle crunch. Yeah, Nebraska is in the midst of a historic drought, and these wildfires that may or may not be accidental are devastating U.S. livestock. That's right. And these Satanists never quit, man. They never quit. They totally want you to eat lab-developed pink slime that's supposed from cancer cells, immortal cell lines. You know, when they make this food, oy vey, goy, we're going to make this food out of immortal cell lines. That's cancer. They're making garbage that'll kill you out of cancer. Don't eat it. And that's what's so funny. They tried that Beyond Meat and that Impossible Meat, and these kikes raised all this money. Nobody eats that shit. Nobody. It's every time I've gone into grocery stores the last 6 years during lockdown, when all the real meat, what do you call those coolers, those big coolers where they keep meat? All the real meat was gone. Beyond Meat and Impossible Meat were fully stocked. Nobody's buying that shit. And that's really good to see. All right, Boiling Frogs here. Great to see you. Shameless Wise Ass is here. He asked, does it have to be the Bank of Ontario list? I think you just need a bank, right?
He texted me. It's just basically, it's too far for me to travel because I have to sign things. So.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
No, it doesn't have to be in the province, no.
Oh, good. All right, let's scroll down.
Thank you, Shameless Wise Ass, for your consideration, too. Thank you.
He's a good man, that Shameless Wise Ass.
Our brother's a good man. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Okay, Bushmaster at Leslie Boy. There are tough jobs, crappy jobs, but our young people need to believe there's no such thing as a bad job except for working for a kike. Man, that is exactly right.
That's right. With a good minimum wage, no job is a bad job. I mean, in jail, I had a job that it was so bad it was funny. But, I mean, you're still earning. And, I mean, people in my range benefited from my labor because I used to bring things home. Like, you know, the daddy brings things home to the family. I used to bring things home to the range. Guys on our range ate well because we shared our food with them that we earned. Nice. And also they had more clothes than, you know, other ranges. We actually had comments from the guards saying, guys, come on, there's too many clothes on this range here. And at Maplehurst, that's a rare thing. So our guys were blessed that we were generous to bring things back to them from our job.
Great points. Okay, I think it's been such an interesting discussion. We got kind of delayed with everything, but it doesn't really matter. So let's, James, with anything that I didn't bring up in hour one that you will run a little late that you'd like to bring up in hour number two.
I'm muted.
Oh, I muted him because of the phone. Hold on, James. There you go.
You beat me to the punch. I killed the phone, but you beat me to the punch. But that's all right.
That's right.
Anyway, to my final word, to jump back toward the start of the program, and Les brought up our nations being despoiled, and that's a good word. But it brought to mind one of the lesser-known parables of Jesus. And most of them aren't well known because the church doesn't teach them because, well, you can't teach the truth anymore and get away with it. Anyway, so somebody brought up to Jesus, or maybe Jesus posed this question to his disciples, how do you despoil a strong man's house? And I guess they didn't have an answer. And he said to them, first, you must bind that strong man, and then it's a cinch to despoil his house. Well, the strong man's house is the entire White West, and we are that strong man.
Right.
And we've been bound, and they're despoiling the hell out of these places. And you can go to a lot of churches. You're not ever going to hear that.
That's a great, great point, James. That's exactly right. I have to compliment you for that insight. Well done. All right, let's next go to Paul Fromm. Paul, anything that in your travels and speeches you gave the last few days and what's that we didn't bring up in hour one?
Well, it actually wasn't the topic, but there's more and more information coming out about, and maybe we can talk about this on another program when we have a bit more time, but our courts in Canada have actually bought anti-colonialism, anti-racism, lock, stock, and barrel. And what they're doing now is giving reduced sentences to Native Indians, Eskimos, and now to blacks. And it's all based on the Indians. This goes back to 1999 with the so-called Gladue decision. But the black thing has crept in mostly by orders from the Trudeau government. So if a Negro is up on charges and is found guilty, the judge now is supposed to consider his experiences with racism and systemic racism, and this all comes back to an idiot idea that we're all equal, and what that means is the results will be equal, and so the fact is Native Indians and blacks are disproportionately represented in the criminal justice system and in the prisons for a very good reason. They commit more crimes. I mean, violence.
Right.
Okay. Well, that violates the notion of equality because if we're all equal, there should be any the same percentage of whites in jails as blacks and Chinese and so on. But that's not the way it is. Well, that means there must be some sort of problem, and that's systemic racism. Even if there isn't actual personal racism, the system is somehow mysteriously set up against these people. So so they have reduced sentences. And I've read some of the judgments. It's like claptrap you'd expect from from Antifa. Our judiciary is pathologically anti-white. You know, it's been hijacked. That's my reading in the last week or so, and then also people I talk to. It's an absolute disgrace. You know, we have to take our country back.
Okay. We have to scrub the courts clean too.
See, according to their understanding of equality, results. If the results are different between races or whatever, then it must be discrimination. So I think I should sue the Toronto Blue Jays. I think I should be the pitcher on the opening game.
Opening day.
Why not? The fact that I'm a little over 70, the fact that I may not throw all that hard, may not throw all that accurately, that shouldn't matter. I should be the picture, otherwise.
That's right.
I mean, we're living in a wacko land, but that's not surprising when you glorify the transgendered.
Oh my God! You know, speaking of the transgendered, I don't know if you remember last year or the year before, where that idiot Alex Jones had that tranny Blair White, who is a very passable looking tranny. I mean, he looks like an attractive woman. And Alex Jones was drooling over him and kind of embarrassing himself. But anyway, so this guy Blair White admits he's a tranny and is anti-child grooming, anti a lot of things. He's kind of a sane, you know, tranny. He's never going to cut off his little Blair, and he just wants to be this beautiful dude dressed like a woman, but has a little snossage there where there needs to be a snossage for a man. And so Blair White last week came out and said he's stunned at how the transgender movement is collapsing, and hundreds of thousands, especially young women who went women to boy, are now reversing it. And they're incredibly angry that they realize now they were sterilized and they were mind controlled, basically groomed. And so a lot of this satanic stuff, Paul Fromm, and then we'll get everybody's thoughts, is all falling apart just on its own, because it was satanically evil what was being done to these innocent little kids. And God bless for them for waking up. It's sad that they destroyed their future. They destroyed their legacy. They'll never have children. It's horrific, because we need white babies. But on the other hand, at least they have woken up, and they can become now, Paul, a cautionary tale for other young women to never let these kikes anywhere near your genitalia.
There's a person, I think, I'm not sure if he or she, the name is Megyn Kelly, I think. She has done a number of lectures about this. She's a very unhappy transgendered. She feels she was conned, that it was the wrong decision, and she's been trying to warn others. And the radical left have tried to shut down her meetings in British Columbia, deplatform her. I think it's a her, but anyway, the person according to my good friend Gordon, is very sincere and is trying to warn people, don't do it. I got planned into this shit. Don't do it.
Wow.
That's well, good for that person for trying to raise
the absolutely.
For sure. For
100%.
Sure. 100%. All right. So I guess a couple of things I want to share with you guys for comments real quick, and then we'll get everybody's. final thoughts. And there's this person, Orvo, stole Clash's joke. Here it is. Breaking white smoke in Tel Aviv indicates that Israel has chosen a new OnlyFans CEO. That's pretty good, though. All right. Wanted to share that one with you real quick. Because Clasha, you were ahead of the game. They stole your joke. this is unbelievable. These Israeli soldiers, it's not reportedly in multiple eyewitnesses, tortured a one-year-old child in Gaza to force confessions from his father. So they literally burned this one-year-old little child with a cigarette, and also inserted a nail into his leg, this little one-year-old boy, to pressure the father into... They tortured, these vile kikes tortured a one-year-old baby. That's just too much. And tie that to the fact that underlining and bolding Paul Fromm's observation, completely lucid and accurate, that the world has gone insane. This vile kike, Nosferatu Greenblatt, is now whining that if you don't want a foreign country controlling you, well, then you are an anti-Semite. I'm so tired of that made-up word, right? That made-up word. And then the final thing I want to get, your two things. This hero, Sam Melia, spent 2 years in prison away from his little baby because he put up "It's Okay to Be White" stickers in his neighborhood. This guy, Laron Velman, and Melia was smeared by Hope Not Hate, another kike organization.
Yeah. There's
way too many kike organizations. So Laron Velman received a suspended sentence over grooming a 13-year-old. He was the writer for Hope Not Hate. So this kike gets off with nothing. This good white man, 2 years away from his beautiful little newborn because he just come on. It's about time. And then finally, let's listen to Trump whining that Congress has become anti-Semitic because they're not serving the Jews enough.
But to pay them more.
Okay, I gotta bring the volume up. I mean, this is how insane it is, and it's getting worse. But that means it's actually getting better, because if they're going to these kind of insane extents to cater to the kike, how long is the kike going to be around? I don't think for too long. All right, so let's go back to that. Where is that little dealio? Here it is. Is that it? Oh, yeah, it's just scrolled down now. Let's try it. Now it'll probably be really loud. Here we go.
As President of the United States, I will always support Jewish Americans, and I will always be a friend and a champion to the Jewish people. I have been. And I will say, if you go back 10, 12, 15 years ago at the most, the strongest lobby in Washington was the Jewish lobby. It was Israel. That's no longer true. As President of the United States,
I want to point out one other thing, you guys. Let's go to where, scroll up a little bit where he's looking at the camera. Okay, so, all right, here we go. This guy is not healthy. He's losing his hair, bad stress from the war. Look at the puffiness and the bags under his eyes. This white under the puffy bag in Oriental medicine means kidney issues, real kidney issues. And so, and then you just look at look at his hands that aren't made up. I mean, this guy's not healthy. I don't think he's going to live another year myself, which I won't shed a tear.
I've noticed a real deterioration.
Yeah, exactly. A real deterioration.
The past year when you get close ups.
Yep, me too.
I think it's ill.
All right, so let's go. Let's start with UK Steve. Steve, what's your final word? And it's great that you joined the show again. We missed you last week.
Thank you. I've got three main sort of themes to talk about. With this calamity coming up, and it will cascade into a climax, what we saw with Weimar Germany, we see this time and time again through history. There's going to be certain key signposts, problems that we need to address if we're going to succeed in regenerating as a white ethnic group in a particular country. So some of the things we missed, for example, I mean, we touched on pensions. I can see all the old people having to liquidate their houses. I've seen the bankers coming after old people's houses for quite a while now. But sure. If you can imagine the care costs with inflation that they're having to pay, I think the old people are going to lose all their housing. And that brings up a question. Who's going to get the houses? So any future state must relaunch the pension scheme. How they do that, whether it's gold, silver, whether it's a sovereign wealth fund, which is my preferred solution, they're going to need to address the pension issue. They're going to need to take the housing and to renationalize the housing. Gone are the days of mortgages and banks. That will be by and by the water by the time this all hits. So we're going to need to give those houses to the workers and rebuild our working class. And this is a key theme here. I'm going to keep banging on again and again and again. Mm-hmm. Sure. You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to be winning any wars. You're not going to be regenerating any societies unless you rebuild the working class. And that requires reskilling and re-education. So we're going to have to give some form of free education to these skills and technical disciplines, and not to gender studies, intersectional racial studies.
Absolutely.
All of that must have their funding gone. We need to address the ad-paid media. So without a sort of clamping down on free speech beyond the getting rid of the Jew, we have to discourage paid speech. So we often talk about free speech and what that actually means, but we don't actually talk about paid speech enough. And so what I will be pushing again and again is the utter destruction of the legacy ad-paid media as a central policy within any government. It's not too hard for a government to sort of be on the right path. All they need to do is repeal all the laws that the Jews have been passing for the last 30, 40 and so on years. If you keep repealing, if you rebuild and reskill the working class, if you adjust the pension scheme, if you renationalize housing and give that to workers who are working and have a history of working, if you get rid of the ad-paid media so we actually have free speech in this country, people will naturally support the government because it will be the only solution on the table. Secondly, we've got a real issue with invaders. Now, this is going to come down to two scenarios. One will be the less a country has been invaded, the more easier it is for a politics-based solution, which is why the Jew, by the way, has got pulling the plug out here to try and have as many non-whites coming into the country as fast as possible. Because it makes a political solution impossible. And when you've got mass amounts of niggers, Muslims, Jews, etc., everywhere, trannies, with women supporting it, by the way, the only solution is mass internment, what we would know as concentration camps. So you're going to have to put all these undesirables into concentration camps. Those who play ball, you whack them in the capital, and you say you're not allowed out of the capital, and your role is to facilitate trade. Outside of the capital, you're all going in concentration camps, and then you'll be removed from the country as fast as logistics will allow, so sure. We can have an end to those internment camps. But concentration camps are necessary, and if you think about the propaganda against concentration camps, I'm coming out now, and I'm saying it now, we need concentration camps. But for the enemy. We don't need them for the Jews, you see. We don't want to be providing sanctuary cities for the Jews because they're going to be executed. They won't be getting off this island, okay? Finally, regarding the countries that are too far gone, in a sense, this is where we're going to get the ground operations. We saw this in Northern Ireland where people, I think... Thomas Sowell talked about this with white fortressing. It was a good point. I actually agreed with that. If we can just take it up a scale, though, when we talk about balkanization, what that really is a form of white fortressing where everything collapses down to ethnic lines.
Right.
And that is something we should seriously consider. So if there's certain areas which are too far gone, there's no point dying on a pile of brass. You have to go to a white fortressing, not just in terms of cities and towns, but actual Balkan areas, which is what you want to do. And that will happen naturally in the UK, which is why I support a Kuriak, by the way, rather than the butcher's apron. So we have to look at the ground operations and what we're actually calling regime change. So whether we do a political revolution or whether we do a hardcore material revolution, it's all geared towards regime change. And that means there's going to be all the judges that have been oppressing our side will be fired. At the very least, they're going to be fired. And we're going to start to see the people actually taking control. I'd like to say the workers, but even the professional middle classes, we're going to need to train those workers as well and to take part jointly in dispensing justice. So if you want to have a political solution, that's what you're going to need to dispense justice, is to fire the judges and to have panels of the people running the legal system. Because if the people don't understand the law, how can they follow it? If they can't, i.e. the situation is too far gone, we're going to see ground operations and fortressing and a balkanization along ethnic lines. Finally, I will believe there is real change in this island when I see Tony Blair hang outside the central bank of the Bank of England publicly on live TV, and then people start to go for the Rothschilds and have a full public trial on world television. It will be the greatest, most sensationalist trial. You must give what the people want, the normie, which is good. Good TV. And having a world trial of Nathaniel Rothschild and executing him live on national television is good TV. And that's what we need. Thank you.
Oh, well stated. Well stated. Excellent. Let's next go to Paul Fromm. Paul, what an honor to join the show today. Your final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Well, we're gearing up for a really good night this Thursday. That's going to be the 2026 George Orwell Free Speech Award. It's going.
Oh, that's
to
right. Yeah, yeah.
Story. And I would be very happy if any of you would like to just email me sort of greetings or for less. It's always good to have. Comments coming in from other places and other people. And my email is paul@paulfromm.com.
I'll give you a testimonial here in the next day or so.
Yes. Sure. Just send along a test.
There'll be plenty of swear words.
We've been trannies talking too long. But anyway, this is going to be a good night. There's certainly... Les has really deserved it. He's paid his dues. He's been in the belly of the beast and come out the other side. So we're gearing up for that. And that's my comment.
Oh, fantastic! I'd forgotten about that. That's great. We'll have to. So if anybody wants to give Les a testimonial, paul@paulfromm.com is where you email it, and I'm gonna definitely write a nice. Honest testimonial. All right, so let's go to the recipient of the prestigious 2026 George Orwell Award, Leslie Borey, the future Prime Minister of Canada. Les, you're gonna be getting an award. You're gonna have testimonials. Man, you're hitting the big time.
Sounds pretty good. It's gonna be something to see when I make the video for that too. There's going to be some convention about that, I'm sure. And it is easy to come out of the belly of the beast out the other end looking not too bad. So that's a good thing. I'm glad I made it out, but I'm not really out yet. They're trying to throw me back into the belly for another round of that. So we'll see how that works out. And I'm looking forward to receiving the award and seeing all the nice people there that night. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a really nice evening. And thank you very much, Paul, for that. You're a good man.
You're awesome.
For sure.
And, yeah. When it comes to good TV now, Steve. Now Steve's talking now. I'm going to make some good TV in the future, man. We're going to have it's going to be an epic TV show when it comes to dispensing justice. You know, I can see maybe a couple hundred thousand episodes of that good TV in the future, considering Fantastic. What's going on in our country. That's no joke. So I'm looking forward to that. And also, Steve mentioned something about students and things and retraining. Our policies will benefit students because learning is labor. And we're going to back the printing of the money to fund the students with their labor in the future, and including their teachers as well. So there'll be no tuition that they'll need to pay. Everybody's going to be making the most valuable money in the world because it can be backed by the most precious commodity in the world, which is human labor. And these students are going to benefit our nation by learning skills that are going to keep our nation going. The nation's nothing without workers, so we need to train those workers for the future. And this way, the students will graduate without student debt, and more than likely, they're going to graduate with money in the bank. There so they're going to have a lowered rate of inflation, and it's going to be fantastic. They won't be leaving all desperate and miserable. They're going to be leaving just chugging forward and making things better for themselves and Canada at the same time. It's going to be a mutually beneficial situation. I can't wait for the students to enjoy just focusing on their studies and earning some money while they're at it, because there isn't too much that's more valuable than Canadian workers in the entire world, right? Because without the workers, we're absolutely nothing. So to train the workers for the future is the future of your nation. There's no doubt about it. And thanks, James and Paul and Steve and Giuseppe. It's been a fun show there, right on.
Oh, yeah, been a hoot.
Fellas, and, I'll try to represent us all well in the election. I'll keep our heads up. We won't have anything to be ashamed of. And we're going to try and benefit everybody. And
heck yeah.
Another thing about the immigrants, they're not white, a lot of these people, but I tell you what, man, our riding, right, basically it comes down, like victory in this election might come down to, we'll say, the supporters of Israel versus their victims. So if there's more victims of Israel, especially with my pedigree, they might vote for me for what I've been through. We've shared some pain there, you know what I'm saying? So we'll see how that works out. All right. Good day, everybody. Thank you for watching.
Les, you're absolutely right. You got to be Machiavellian about this. Whatever it takes to get into power, we must do. Mm-hmm. And if some melatonin-challenged individuals decide to be the get you over the goal line, God bless them. So
hey, if they want to help us save the white race, then there you go, boys. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, there's a lot of blacks who go on YouTube and these other social media platforms and they bitch about stupid niggers and we need whites and all that. So yeah, there's some blacks who get it and tired of the ghetto antics of these the lower levels of their race. James, as always, want to give you the final word, but I got a question. It's popping up on various social media platforms now that this temporary truce with Iran to negotiate is actually a ploy by Donald J. for Jewish rectum liquor Trump to allow the Marines to get over there to the Karg Island or whatever it's called. Island
death trap.
Death trap. I don't know, man. If he's that dumb, but maybe he is that dumb because let me check. Go ahead and answer the question. I got to, if I can find it.
It was on Fox News just this morning that Trump has dispatched some more warships and about 2,500 more Marines to the area. It was announced on Fox just today.
Jeez.
So there you go.
From my research, that looks like it's set up as a death trap for any. I don't care how well trained the soldiers are; it's not going to go well for them.
No, your I don't thoughts? Think it will. Be another Gallipoli, huh?
Oh my God!
But really, what I want to wind up with very simply is all these things that are plaguing us. That we're plagued with these days, the white West, seem like they're new, but they're not. They're very ancient. There's really nothing new under the sun, as the Bible states, right, but it's new only to white Christian civilization.
This is the last, the final cycle of civilization given to us by Jesus Christ. It dates from the moment of his birth, and it's coming to a close. And it was, the whole thing was prophesized. It's anticipated. God knows who the enemy is. The Bible states who the enemy is. There's no surprises here. And it's not, what it means is it's approaching a climax.
Sure.
And it's not going to end well for the enemy because it's already been anticipated.
Right.
There's nothing up in the air here. It's going to be painful, mm-hmm. but we know how it comes out. So that's the thing. All we have to do is walk this on out, and that we shall do.
Amen, James. That's a good way to go. Shoot. I got to get better at, I find these great things and then I put it in my profile to use it. But then when I go to find it, it's not there. I guess that could be on X people deleting their own stuff as opposed to me keeping it. I guess if they delete it, I cannot keep it. That must be what's going on. But anyway, there was this great picture of Trump's mother, and there's a quote under it. It's too bad that it's not there anymore. Let me look at one more place to see if I can bring it up or not. I don't want to make people dizzy with all this stuff, but see if I put it here in my week 11 memes, because otherwise we'll just have to accept that it was there and now it's gone. Yep, I don't see it here. One more place I can look. I gotta figure this out better. No, anyway, so she, it's funny, maybe if I find it, I'll bring it up for Wednesday, but it's this Trump mother saying, I really hope Donald never goes into politics. He's a liar and he can't keep his facts straight. But he's a charming guy, but I hope he never does. So it's that's too true, man. This dude just is screwing us all. All right, so want to just thank, did get some donations. Again, all the hosts really appreciate donations. And so today there were some generous people for Giuseppe. So 1488 from Johnny Sunshine. He says, I mentioned this earlier, but it's worth repeating. Another great intro, G-Man. Tomorrow is the remembrance of the passing of St. James P. Wickstrom. So that means he died on March 24th. All right. Well, definitely. James, you and Dave will have to commemorate that tomorrow. I'll send Dave the link to that. Bushmaster 6A, great guy. $5 donation. Thank you so much. Always honest. Says, fuck the Jews. Yes, that's right. I'll lead that prayer in a moment. And then Thomas Dwyer, $10. Thank you so much. The generosity is truly appreciated. And again, thanks so much to Paul Fromm, who dropped out, and Steve, who's still here, UK Steve, James Mason, Les Borey, and all the other legends who join us when they can. And so if Pastor Eli were here, he's on the road till April 3rd, so Eli will be back on April 3rd. If he were here, he could conduct a prayer, but since I too am an ordained minister,
fuck the Jew.
Yes, indeed, fuck the Jew every which way to Sunday. All right, so that being said, don't forget to tune in to all the amazing hosts and shows. And you know that in the first year, ftjmedia.com, 2 million archival views, and this is, you know, we were very limited server space. So now because more and more people are joining FTJ Pro, we've had money to enhance and augment the server farm. And if you notice, FTJ is real fast these days, which is good. Until we choke it off, then we got to grow it again. But how about that first year, FTJ, Freedom, Truth, Justice? You know, I think it stands for something else. I know it does. I made it up. It stands for fuck the Jew. And I can't wait to see these demons fall and these demons be hunted and terminated with extreme prejudice. Everything they've done in the history of their existence has been steal children, torture children, rape children, blood sacrifice, make adrenochrome out of the blood, and then eat the remains and put the blood in their bread and make their unleavened bloody bread. Ugh, ugh, sickening. And so finally, it's sad that especially the white race are so empathic, so tolerant. Oh, no, that's just a trope because that Jew who's eating the bloody baby just told me so. Well, you know what? That shit doesn't fly anymore. Fuck the Jew. You're all going away. You're all going to hell. And there's a lot, as in billions with a B of people who can never unsee what you've done murdering those innocent little native Palestinians. You're occupiers. You don't belong there. And you're sick enough to burn a one-year-old little boy with a cigarette. You're sick enough to stick a nail in his leg to get the father to confess. Confess to what? That he wants to just live in his home and have you vile kikes shown the door to hell. And you know what, kikes? It's coming. I can't wait to see when we get to the 6 million number, then maybe we'll get to the 12 million number. And before you know it, the few remaining Jews are just the lesser brethren, and who cares? They're no threat to us. So with that being said, have a great rest of the week. Tune in on Wednesday. There's nothing special this Wednesday. But Friday is the NS Ladies Roundtable, and that's always great. Monica Schaefer, Kathleen Dudley, Always Honest, Fashbird, Non-Kosher Salt is going to be a great show. And these guys. So that being said, don't forget to tune in as often as you can. Definitely donate to the hosts. And tomorrow should be a banging show with James and Dave Gahari on Seize the Day and so many other great shows. Until then, hail victory. We've already won. We serve the divine. We worship a truly benign creator and not a bunch of demons. So God bless us all and see you Wednesday. Ciao for now.